Let us worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Psalm 111 says, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation." Let us pray and praise our God together. O Lord God in heaven, great are your works. They are studied by all who delight in them. Your works are full of splendor and majesty, and your righteousness endures forever. You have caused your wondrous works to be remembered. You are gracious and merciful. You provide food for those who fear you as you remember your covenant forever. You have shown your people the power of your works by giving us the inheritance of the nations. The works of your hands are faithful and just, and all your precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. We praise your name, O Most High, and amen.
Amen.
There are fools in the world. A fool says in his heart, "There is no God." What does this mean? This means that a man can so deceive himself that he imagines a world in which there are no consequences. He assumes he can do whatever he can get away with. This delusion lasts for a while. Such a man does what he pleases without concern for God. He muddles along without a care in the world, assuming that his ways will not require an accounting. But there is a God, and he has made the world in such a way that a man reaps what he sows. But like a field planted in the spring, we cannot tell the nature of the crop until the plant is up. Sometimes we pull up the little shoots knowing that they do not belong. Sometimes we wait a bit longer, unsure of the plant. Sometimes we wait until harvest and then separate the wheat from the chaff. But a reckoning is coming. The fruit will be revealed, and some of it will be for life, and some will only be for burning. But a fool is only a fool until his eyes are opened. It is time to wake up. Psalm 110 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." Let us pray as we confess our sins together. Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, we seek your counsel in your word and by your spirit. Forgive us for stopping our ears from the voice of wisdom as she cries out in the streets. Give us ears to hear and hearts to obey. Let us confess together. Our Father, we confess our failure to seek wisdom and understanding in your word and to do all your holy commandments. We have been foolish, have sown the wind and reaped the whirlwind. Forgive us, O Lord, and grant us wisdom to walk in your spirit through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers and forgiving our sins through Christ our Savior. Amen. Rise up, O saints of God, forgiven in Christ Jesus. Also in Psalm 111, he sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Dear saints, come to the Father boldly in the name of his Son, our Lord Jesus. Rejoice, you are forgiven.
Thanks be to God.
Our Old Testament scripture and sermon text is from 1 Samuel 25, the entire chapter. Hear the word of the Lord. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young man, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young man find favor in thine eyes, for we come in good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill. And behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So, and more also, do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For in very deed as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice, and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord, that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Lachish, which was of Galim. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us instruction today through the power of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, this is a long chapter, and there's a lot here. I had intended to get through it in one sermon. We'll see how that goes today. This might be a two-parter. The title of your sermon, if you'll notice in your bulletin, is Don't Marry Adult and Don't Be One Either. And that could be the sermon right there. I mean, if you just take that advice, you'd be well on your way to godly Christian living. We get a real contrast here. As we have made our way through the book of Samuel, we see that the author over and over, every chapter gives us these contrasts. Be like this, not this. Make these choices, not these. And here we have another contrast between Nabal, whose name could quite literally mean dolt. That was his name, and that was his character. He was a foolish, impudent, insolent, churlish man, as the translation tells us. He was like a dog that has a bad attitude, that when you go try to pet it, it sneers at you and wants to bite your hand. That's the sort of man that Nabal was. And because he was sort of this man, nobody could speak to him. His wife, as on the contrast, is this godly, wise woman. She's full of discernment and wisdom, and just the kind of woman that a man like Nabal needed, but he refused to hear her. As the scriptures often do, they give us a great literary device here, which is often hard to see in the translation, because I don't know why the translators think they have to do this. They change the words for us so they don't reuse words. You're told to do that in your writing, right? Don't be redundant. Don't use the same words all the time. But the Bible does it all the time, and then we don't retain those words in the translation. We think we have to help the Bible out. But if you were reading this chapter, the chapter goes something like this. Peace, peace, peace. That's David speaking to Nabal. Nabal is a refusal to hear. And then gird, gird, gird is what David says as he encourages him, his warriors and himself to gird on their swords to avenge this insult. When Abigail hears it, she runs to David, and her response is speak, speak, speak. She speaks words, and that's repeated 3 times. She speaks words to David, and David is the sort of man, unlike her husband, who can hear counsel. Her husband is churlish and won't listen to his wife, but David is a wise man who is about to make a really unwise choice and to do the very thing that he would not do against Saul, which was to avenge himself. And he's about to do that against Nabal. He's about to play the fool. He's about to be adult. And Abigail comes to him and says, don't do that. Don't be foolish like my foolish husband. So she speaks three times to David. This word for speak is repeated three times. David hears and responds. And there's this thrice blessing. Bless, bless, bless. Bless be you, Abigail. Blessed be the advice that you give me. And blessed be the Lord God who sent you. And then the result of it is dead, dead, dead. Nabal dies when he hears the news from Abigail. He dies when God smites him into death. And then David responds when he hears of the death of Nabal. So we see this really a neat literary device in order for us to focus upon the gist of what the story is. But there's also tremendous lessons. The applications are so easy in Samuel. They just jump out at us. We want to know the story. We want to know what happened. We want to see what God is doing as he's telling us this story. He's telling us to make right choices. I've chosen you, and now choose to do the right thing. Continue to follow after the Spirit. Saul was filled with the Spirit. He became a changed man, it says, and yet he repeatedly refused to do that which is right, and the Spirit departed from him, and the Spirit now dwells with David. And so David, we get this contrast too. David continues to choose to do the right thing. He refuses to avenge himself. He refuses to judge, but leaves that sort of judgment up to Yahweh. And as a result, God blesses him. God leads him into wisdom. And one of the places of wisdom that God leads him to is good counselors. And here we have a counselor who is someone he didn't even know up to this point. And yet, because he's a wise man, he hears and heeds wise counsel. At the beginning of this chapter, we see that Samuel dies. This is a passing of an era, really, for Israel. And when it says, after Samuel dies, David arose and he went down to the wilderness of Paran. He goes way south. So he goes down into the land of Judah and then even further south. Perhaps this was because he saw his great danger. Now, Samuel already was at odds at some degree with Saul. He was afraid of Saul. He saw that Saul was not willing to really heed his advice. Saul was a man on his own. But also, Samuel was still a presence in Israel. There was still some level of spiritual protection, if you will, for David while Samuel was still alive. At Samuel's passing, David sees the need. Okay, there's no buffer now between me and Saul. There's no buffer of death. And he gets himself away from Saul as far as he can go. He is now in great straits, however. He's out in the desert. He has 600 men, and he's hard-pressed to keep these men supplied. He doesn't have access to the supplies of the kingdom. He's in the land of Judah, but we can see that there are both friends and foes there, and he doesn't know who to trust. He reaches out to this man, Nabal, who it says is a great man. And we need to see where his greatness lies. His greatness was in wealth. He was a very wealthy man, and he had great riches. It says he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He had obviously was a man of property, a man of means. And it says that he was adult. Nabal, his name means dolt, stupid, wicked, foolish, vile person. The sons of Belial were worthless persons, those who dwelt with worthless people and didn't have any concern except for their own worldly pleasures. This is the sort of man that Nabal was. Abigail is contrasted to him. Abigail, her name means her father's joy. she was one who would produce a great deal of joy in her father. Now, her father foolishly gave her to Nabal. We don't know. We would perhaps assume that Abigail had no choice in this. Being the wise woman that she was, she would have probably not chosen Nabal. Perhaps there was some sort of alliance, right? He was a man of means. The father saw an opportunity. Let's marry off my daughter to a man of means. Fathers, don't do that. Find a man of wisdom. Find a godly man to marry your daughter to. A man who pursues the Lord and pursues heavenly and spiritual things. Not just one who has found great success on the earth. Now, they don't have to be mutually exclusive, right? But don't trade worldly success for godliness. She was a woman of understanding. The word there means wise, prudent, discreet. And we see that in her behavior. Also, the scriptures tell us she's a beautiful woman. She's striking. She's striking in her beauty. But there's this consistency with her. She's beautiful inside and out. Nabal has the appearance of success and wealth, but he's a wicked man. And this becomes obvious to everybody. David takes the occasion of the sheep shearing to go and make a request of Nabal. Sheep shearing was a festive time. There was a lot of work to be done, and so there was a lot of food that was brought out. All the hands were on, and it made sense that this would be a good time for David to appeal to Nabal. Everybody's in a good mood. There's a lot of food. There's a lot of drink, and we're having a big party. Come and join the party. And clearly, David knows that Nabal is a man of great means, and to feed even his army of 600 was not a request to put Nabal out in any way. This was well within his means. Our translation says, "Thus you shall say to him that liveth in prosperity." So he knew that Nabal could easily provide this. And he says to him, "Peace, peace, peace. Peace be upon you." And he's seeking to bring a blessing to Nabal and giving Nabal an opportunity to serve David and his men. We know that the report had already been out about David, that from Abigail's response, we can see that the report is even out that David spared the life of Saul. Because she says, "One has come out to seek you, but you've not avenged yourself." So the story that we read in the previous chapter is already current. That the word is already out. David is on the run. Saul's trying to kill him. But David is not trying to kill Saul. So we see that Nabal's words to David are particularly slanderous. They're a lie. Nabal says to him, "Who are you and who is the son of Jesse?" And there's many servants out there trying to break away from their master. See, you're in rebellion. You're trying to start a revolution and a coup and take over the kingship. But that's a lie, and everybody knew it was a lie. But this is the sort of thing that Nabal does. He doesn't want to give out of his plenty, and so he makes up excuses and false accusations. And then he says, "Shall I take what is mine?" He's also apparently a greedy man. "And give it to the man whom I know not whence they be, to you and your men." It's sort of a backhanded insult at their paternity. You may not even know who your fathers are. I don't even know who you are. I'm not going to help you or bless you in any way. Now, when Abigail is told this, the report comes, and the report comes from Nabal's men, saying that we sent messengers to wilderness, or David did, sent messengers from the wilderness to salute our master. And the word there for salute is a blessing, Barak. He meant to bless them. So David sends this greeting, and it's a greeting and a blessing. God's blessing and peace be upon you. And then it says, Nabal railed at him. The word there for railed, it means something like swoop down on, sort to fly at, sort of like a hawk or an eagle swooping down at its prey. So David blesses, and Nabal responds with an attack upon David. This is the sort of churlish man that he was. But David Abigail is told that what Nabal says about David is false. He's not usurping the authority of Saul. In fact, when we were in the wilderness with the sheep, they protected us and they were as a wall to us. They not only didn't steal from us, they protected us. And so in a sense, David, when he's coming to make a request of Nabal to feed his men, he could have made the request on what you owe me. I've already earned this. I've already earned your favor by the protection that we have given your men. But he doesn't do that. He comes humbly asking for Nabal to bless him out of the goodness of his own heart. So Abigail is a testament against Nabal, and so is his men. The men, they come to Abigail because they know we can't speak to him. If we try to speak to him, he's going to fly at us just like he flew at David. That's what he does. Abigail understands this as well. There are men who are so surly, so churlish, that they can no longer be spoken to. Some of you probably know a man like this. You try to speak to him, he won't hear you. His wife tries to speak, he won't hear her. The boss tries to speak, he won't hear. The pastor tries to speak, he won't hear. There's always excuses. There's always a railing. There's an excuse, or he just doesn't care. He doesn't want to hear, so he lashes out. Because his wife had tried to speak to him, because his servants had tried to speak to him, and because both had witnessed his speech to other men, like David's servants, all to no avail, we see that Nabal was adult. He would not hear wise words, and his response was full of harsh railing. This is the sort of man that he was. It's in this context that Abigail acts. Now, you have to remember the context, and the context is important here. You ladies should pay particular attention to Abigail. She's a great character. And what she does here is behavior that ought to be emulated. But the context matters. Some might accuse her of rebellion against Nabal. Her husband flatly refused to help David, and now Abigail takes a sizable chunk of the family savings and hastens to give it to David. She does this without Nabal's permission, on purpose, because she knew that he would disapprove. Now, some modern commentators on what it means for a wife to be submissive might find fault with Abigail. But the Bible praises her for these actions. She was right to appeal to David without her husband's knowledge. In doing so, she saved her own household. There are times when your husband, ladies, is acting like an adult. Now, if he just acts like an adult occasionally, right, like maybe only daily once, you probably could give him that, right? Husbands, we need a little leeway for our adultishness. We know that we do this. And one of the cures for that is a godly wife. So when your wife comes to you and says, "Husband, you're acting foolishly," if you'll hear her, then you're like David. That's godliness, right? We're all sinners. We all, from time to time, make mistakes and do what's wrong and act foolish. The dividing line is, what do you do with it when you're told? Do you hear godliness? Or do you, on the contrary, rail? Do you fly at her? Do you refuse to hear? And moreover, do you not only refuse to hear your wife, but those other friends and counselors who are around you? There are other men around you as well, men, who might try to speak to you, but do you fly at them and always with excuses? That's the difference. And so, obviously, this had happened enough times that Nabal had proved himself not just a frail man who makes mistakes, who needs a godly woman to help him see his mistakes and to repent of them and turn from them and walk in godliness, but he had already proven himself to never hear, to always rail, both to his wife and to his men, so much so that he was spoken of as a man that nobody can speak to. He will not hear anybody. He does what he wants, and he will not hear wise counsel at all. And that sort of man is in danger of ruining everything. He's in danger of ruining your household. He's in danger of making a mess of everything. And this is one of the things that we've spoken of from time to time in our churches, where we have a high view of headship and we have a high view of godly submission to headship. But, you ladies, you're not required to let your husband trash your life. You're not required to let your husband ruin your finances and to ruin your children and to fall into scandalous sins when he shows himself adult. When he shows himself not to be making a foolish decision, but to be a foolish person. And then what do you do? What do you do in such circumstances? Well, you go to those who can make a difference. Abigail could no longer speak to her husband, so she went to David, the one who could make a difference. And so, ladies, you have to understand that it's not only a right that you have to be heard, it's a duty that you have to save your household in some circumstances. But context matters. Remember, context matters. It would have been wrong for Abigail had Nabal heard this report and went into his wife and said, "Oh, that David, he ticks me off. He's always coming around bumming food." And she said, "Husband, remember, he's the Lord's anointed. He's going to be king. Don't be foolish. Remember the future. Be godly. Be generous." And he said, "You're right, honey. You're right. Forgive me." It would have been wrong for her to go out and lash out at him or to go behind his back in such an instance. That's godliness. That's what he should have done. That's the leeway that God was providing him. God was giving him grace by giving him such a woman, but he refused to hear. And so Abigail comes to David and beseeches him. She speaks words to him. She acknowledges even, ladies, it's okay to acknowledge in such a situation, "My husband is a fool. His name was Nabal." Now, I can't hardly believe that his parents gave him that name. I doubt that's the case. I think it was probably a nickname. Because he was this kind of person, people started calling him Nabal. And he was so glad to be a churlish person, he wore it proudly. Yeah. You know, like you know somebody that's called Bulldog or, you know, Dog. You know, Dog the Bounty Hunter. You know, why do you like it? Yeah, I kind of like that, you know. Actually, he's really nice now. If you ever watch that show, he's just kind of this nice Christian man and prays these nice prayers and he speaks nicely to the criminals that he apprehends, but he looks kind of scary. But at one point, he seemed to be very proud of the ability to attack people and go get them and be tough. Well, that's the sort of thing that's going on with Nabal here. He's proud of his sin. The very thing that people are accusing him of and they're making a mockery of him, he said, "Yeah, call me that. I'll be that. I'll be Nabal. That's just what I am. You got a problem with it? I'll take you out. I have the resources. I can do that." And so that's the kind of person that he has become. And Abigail acknowledges this. Everybody knows this. It's now common knowledge. She acknowledges this to David, but seeks his grace to her and her household. In fact, she owns it. She says, "I've sinned against you." She really didn't, but she's taking the kind of responsibility like a head of a household that her husband should have. He refused to do it, and so she's owning up to it and saying, "Will you forgive me?" And David does. He forgives her, and then he thrice blesses her three times. And she receives this blessing. And then when the report comes to Nabal that his wife has done this, he dies within himself. Now it's 10 days before the Lord strikes him dead. God is gracious. You know, he had 10 days of grace. There could have been repentance on Nabal's part, but there wasn't. He shriveled up and died because there was no repentance in such a man. Recall last week's sermon as well, right? You want to find a place of repentance. That's another characteristic of godliness. When it's confronted, is there repentance? Or is there just a worldly sorrow that the scriptures say leads to death? So, remember that being foolish is not really a matter of smarts, whether somebody is smart or stupid. That's not what we're talking about here. Nabal was a smart enough man. He ran a big operation. He was a wealthy man. He was intellectually smart. But he was stupid in the sense that he was unable to see the truth for what it really was. And even when he did, he wouldn't turn away from ungodliness and to righteousness. He got proud of his own sin, and he wore it against those who would reprove him, his wife, others. He was a fool and showed himself a fool by refusing to listen to wisdom, refusing to listen to the wisdom that God sent him in his wife and in other people, and even here in this matter with David. Now, Abigail was a godly woman, and her actions in this matter were good and right. She saved her household and the lives of many men. Remember, David swore that I'm going to kill all the men. There will not be a man left. And David was wrong in this. He sought to avenge himself and become the judge, where God was to be the avenger and the judge. Had David carried out this behavior, he would have been like Saul. And no doubt the blessing of God would have then fled from him. So God brings him this godly woman, this word of wisdom. And men, you need to see your wives in that same way. God has given you a woman to speak wisdom to you so that you don't go out and make foolish mistakes like this. Now, this is a woman speaking to a man. Of course, this can flip around, right? That's not the application I'm particularly making, but wives, you can also hear the wisdom of your husbands. When you are prone to make foolish decisions, you can hear the wisdom of your husband and hear those words spoken and flip around and find a place of repentance and wisdom and obedience. And finally, as I mentioned, ladies, if your husband cannot be spoken to you, then you need to speak to someone who can hold him accountable. And this is not only your right, this is your duty. And men, do not be like this. Listen to your wife. Listen to the man around you. Back to the title of the sermon, and we'll end with that, right? So, men, don't be a dolt. And ladies, young ladies, you're not like Abigail. You get to choose, right? We're not in the same era. You get to choose. Hopefully with some wisdom from your father and leading you and helping you to see. But one of the things you need to see is godliness and wisdom in a man, not just physical beauty and successful success, worldly success, riches, but see godliness and wisdom. And so you can be a helper to such a man. So don't be adult men and don't marry one either, ladies. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We see the glory revealed in it, in these ancient stories, and yet they are so applicable for us today. Lord, we pray for the men here that they would be wise and not foolish. At times, Lord, we know, though, that our anger and our wrath boils up in us, and we want to take matters into our own hands, perhaps with our children or with others. We pray at such times, Lord, that you would make us sensitive to the wisdom of our wives. We pray for the wives that they would be bold to speak godliness and wisdom to their husbands. And in doing so, they would help him to be godly and wise and not to be foolish, wrecking his own and the family's future. Lord, we pray that you would lead us all in the way of godliness for Christ's sake. Amen. A wise woman once saved her household from a foolish husband. A foolish woman once ruined her household by heeding a serpent. A wise man restrained his hand from striking the Lord's anointed. A foolish man cursed the Lord's anointed. A wise man answered the invitation of the Lord's banqueting table. A foolish man showed up without wedding garments. Wisdom cried out from the streets. Fools close their ears. We are gathered here in the presence of the Lord. In his wisdom, he extended grace to us who did not deserve it. He held out his hands to us with bread and wine and all good things. The wise man receives that which is offered. The fool refuses the glory of the banquet. The wise man is filled up with Christ through the foolishness of the cross. The fool sees merely bread and wine. The wise man receives these elements in faith and gets life in Jesus Christ. So let us eat and drink and be filled with the wisdom of God. The bread which we share is the communion of the body of Christ. May the Spirit nourish your bodies unto everlasting life as you trust in the Lord Jesus. Receive Christ's body broken for you.